Chicago's home for sports is live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on ESPN 1000.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Live from Binney's in Vernon Hills, it's Miller Time with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
That's right. We are on the air for Football Friday live at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills in the northern suburbs. We've already got a crew watching us. We've got a guy in a Walter Payton throwback. Love to see those.
Sweetness.
Yes. A former member of the Riverwoods Police Department I just mentioned.
Was in your house recently.
Years ago.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, years ago. And you could come on out. You could win those Bears-Ravens tickets. If you want to stay for 5 minutes, stay for 5 minutes. You enter the contest. Boom. You're in. If you want to stay for the whole show, we got some chairs set up for you. Purchase your Miller Lite for the weekend, for the Thanksgiving weekend.
I think if you ask nicely, you may be able to spend the night here as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know about
that. We've got some sleeping bags.
And if not, maybe they could stay at JD's house.
That's right. JD's home game for JD. Home game for me as well.
I mean, I finally get you guys to Vernon Hills. Finally come out to my hometown, and we have bad Bears news to begin the show with. Isn't that sad?
It is. Well, I mean, how many times have we...
Yeah, I was just going to say.
How many times have you been on the show in general in the last decade and a half with good Bears news?
Very rarely. But then again, this is the first broadcast from actual Vernon Hills property. You guys have been in Libertyville before. You've been in Deerfield. You've been in Lake Forest. This is the first time in Vernon Hills.
The Hills.
Do they call it the Hills here? Some people call it the Hills. I do not.
You don't.
This is not Real Housewives of Vernon Hills here, okay? This is not the Hills. It's Vernon Hills. But the news on Khalil Mack, as Sylvie said during the tease there, is not encouraging. He's going to have season-ending foot surgery next week. They tried to rest the foot. He was inactive against San Francisco. He was inactive against Pittsburgh. They had the bye week, and it wasn't working out for him. So he has to have the season-ending foot surgery, and that's going to be it, taking your best pass rusher off the field in a critical stretch for the Bears because they basically have to win almost every single game here now to get back in the mix for a postseason berth.
Kind of thought that something like this may happen when you read today that Bruce Irvin was signed, right, JD?
They signed him to the practice squad, and then they signed Cassius Marsh, the judo kicker, the taunting penalty fame, to the active roster. So, yeah, they were making their moves to kind of soften the blow and find some pass rushers, but you're not going to find a pass rusher like Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And, again, just the word I would use is disappointing because I think the entire year has been disappointing.
Yep.
You know, he hurt his foot initially in Cleveland.
Right, that's
and
what
we
I was
were
gonna
watching
say.
Him. I was watching him closely on the bench. He was trying to get the blood flow back in the foot, doing whatever he could. He actually went back in and played a little bit that game.
Yeah.
He played through it for a couple of weeks to the point where he just couldn't do it anymore. Then they tried the rest approach. They tried the rehab approach. Again, does not work, is not successful.
That I was going to ask you that because to me it seems like this goes back a long way. And it just shows you the toughness that Khalil Mack brings that, you know, a lot of people are now going to go back and we're going to talk in general about was the trade worth it or not in retrospect. But, like, after the Cleveland game, he had a sack against Detroit. He showed up. We know how well he played in that Vegas game. He had a sack there. He had a sack in the Green Bay game. The Tampa game was the game where he struggled then, and then all of a sudden the rest. But
they're like, we got to put him on. We got to deactivate him for a couple of weeks.
But
here
think
see
about
what
that.
Happens.
It's pretty impressive, JD, isn't it? That's something that a guy who needs season-ending foot surgery played through it. For several games.
He doesn't miss many games. Look at his career. He's only missed a handful of games throughout his career. This is the first time he's going to miss, I think, a prolonged period of time here. He's a very tough player. Was the trade worth it? You know, it would have been worth it if the quarterback would have been set.
Bingo.
You know, that's the whole key there. It's the fact that they thought they had their quarterback and they can forfeit those first-round draft picks and get a Khalil Mack, and then they're a Super Bowl contender. And
on that note, JD, you can't judge, in my humble opinion, you can't judge the Khalil Mack trade as good or bad unless you attach it to their quarterback situation at the time. And I remember we had this long conversation when they made that trade, and they gave up a significant amount of draft currency, and they obviously signed him to an enormous contract extension. But when that happened, it was essential that Mitch Trubisky had to then be the answer forward because you had no escape route to replace Mitch if you had to. You didn't have the first-round picks, and you didn't have the cap flexibility because you gave up both when you signed Mac. So, like, at the time, I think Ryan Pace thought that he did have his quarterback. And I think that, you know, the bigger crime here isn't what you gave up for Khalil Mack. It's that the Mack trade then becomes, you ask the question, was it worth it? And it's really, in my world, tied right, as you were saying, do you tie it back to Mitch and the quarterback situation?
It was the misevaluation. It wasn't a misevaluation on Khalil Mack.
Right.
He is what he is. He's a former NFL Defensive Player of the Year. When he's healthy, he's a dominant player. It was the misevaluation of the quarterback at the time.
Yep.
And then you sacrifice all those assets. You dig yourself a hole, and you can't get out of it. You're trying to get out of it now, but you see that the other parts of the team are in disrepair. And there's a lot of big injuries. And, Sylvie, you alluded to this as well. There's a lot of big injuries here for this game on Sunday. I mean, not only is Khalil Mack, you know, obviously going to be out for the rest of the year, Akeem Hicks officially is out of this game. Allen Robinson is doubtful with his hamstring injury. Now, he usually plays through everything. So if he does not play, that's a very serious injury. And don't tell me this is because of the contract and the one-year franchise tender. It definitely is not. This is that guy's a gamer. He plays through almost everything, but he's doubtful. Eddie Jackson, if that floats your boat, is questionable. So he is moving towards coming back, but not having Hicks, possibly not having Robinson, definitely not having Khalil Mack. That's not good for a game that you absolutely have to win. You can't go to 3-7 and think this season has any meaning anymore.
You know, the Allen Robinson thing, too, is a kick in the you-know-what, because it looked like they were finally starting to throw him the football a little bit more. And the one of the biggest throws of that game in the last game, when I think he hurt himself on that run after the catch, right?
39 yards to Allen Robinson.
Yes.
Sets it up, and
it's what happens when you're used to catching 5-yard hitch routes.
I know.
They finally throw it to you downfield. You don't know what's going on. Your body responds weirdly, and next thing you know, your hamstring pops.
What's all this? All this activity here? Then Matt Nagy comes to the podium, and he was very disheveled Monday night game after the Steelers. That was about as bad as I've seen Nagy. He was in bad shape, and he goes, oh, yeah, Allen Robinson has a hamstring. We're like, what? He has a hamstring after everything else? So, it looked like he was just getting that chemistry with Justin Fields a little more. You know, they had some success in the passing game. The big question this week we've had at Halas Hall is, can they carry over what they did at the end of the Pittsburgh game to this Ravens game?
Totally on it.
I don't know. I mean, does it work that way? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Not with this team coming out of a bye.
Well, that's the problem, too, is, you know, all that juice, all that energy has kind of gone away, and now you have all these injuries. It's been another tough week at Halas Hall. I do think Justin Fields, though, is showing improvement, and I think that's sort of where we're at right now. And if they lose on Sunday and go to 3-7, all we have to really kind of watch for from here on out is how much improvement is the quarterback making, because the rest of the year is pretty much blown up.
As they continue to judge, however they're judging Nagy, however they're judging Pace, and whether or not they're going to restructure the organization, isn't this a vital game for the reasons you mentioned? So the offense finally takes a step. That second half was the best half of the year against a legitimate defense, too. You come from behind on national TV, your quarterback maybe has arrived. You have a bye week then to sort of now take that next step. And I know A-Rob is hurt, but if you come out of this bye, JD, and they're struggling against a Ravens defense that is the worst against the pass, and then you can't score and you can't put first downs together, and you have another first half, another first three quarters that's bad, isn't that another check against the head coach and coaching in general and the whole system up there?
That's an indictment. And don't forget, the Ravens starting quarterback mispracticed on Wednesday and Thursday. Now, Lamar Jackson was back out there today. He's going to play on Sunday, of course.
Yeah.
But anytime your quarterback misses the two most important days of the week, that is what we call suboptimal in the business. I mean, that is not a good development right there for them. I think this is a game that they're going to look at very closely. Why have they had so little success coming out of byes under Matt Nagy? Why do they always lose these games? This is another home game. The fans are very upset. Everything is going against them. Yes, this is a game where you say, okay, this is going to be, I don't want to say it's a litmus test, but it's going to be one they hold up there and say, how we do in this game could have some further consequences down the road.
I think you, I mean, it's kind of a mirror game as well, because if you're sitting there and you're evaluating your own staff and your own team, look in the mirror. And by that, I mean, look at the Ravens. Look at what John Harbaugh has done when he gets extra rest or he has extra time to, you know, to prepare his team. They're coming off of a miserable effort where they got manhandled and lost to the Dolphins a week ago Thursday. He's 10-4 as a head coach coming off the bye. I get it. This isn't a bye, but there is extra rest there. Let's see how this team responds. This team rarely loses two games in a row, the Ravens. They haven't done that this year. Let's see if they come out a little bit more energetic and ready to go, more well-prepared, less lethargic and all that other stuff. And then compare it to what you see from the Bears, regardless of the injuries that they've had. Do they have a lot of penalties? Do they make mental mistakes? Are they doing things in an undisciplined fashion? Think that if you're judging this group and you're evaluating them, which should be happening on a weekly basis, judge them against these Ravens
sure,
in certain ways.
Because the Ravens are who they want to be.
Exactly.
That's a tough team, smash-mouth
well
team.
Well-coached.
Well-coached team. Big on special teams. They commit to running the football every single week, no matter what. And they have a dynamic quarterback
yep.
who can do everything that they hope Justin Fields can aspire to be like. Not similar. I mean, they're different style players, different body types. But you see Lamar Jackson and what he's been able to accomplish. Everything is right there. That's who they want to be.
Yes.
It's not the Patriots. Now, that was for a while. Everyone wants to be the Patriots. But if you want to emulate a team, emulate the Ravens. Almost in the playoffs every single year. They've won a couple of Super Bowls. That's the team to look
That's
at.
That's what
say,
I'm saying. This is,
I
to me,
want to
is
be
a
with an identity, too,
yeah.
right? That they Nagy has failed to. I mean, they still talk about identities 4 years into a regime. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is a topic that will not go away. And they kind of felt like they were developing one a little bit, and then the Packers game, and then the Tampa game, and then they had the Browns game thrown in there. So it's like you can have an identity, but why do you always have these clunkers mixed in? And that's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I saw some progress on a number of fronts against the Steelers. I thought the offensive line did a better job.
So you know, let's go.
It's not perfect, but it did a nice, you know, fairly good job protecting him. I think he's going to, even if the offense doesn't perform well, I think the kid is building confidence and is playing with a feeling of security now that even if you're not putting up big numbers, I don't think you're going to see a situation where you look at this game and go, wow, he took a huge step back. I think those, you know, I'm not projecting that he's going to be, you know, 300 yards and three touchdowns on Sunday, but I think he has got a good feel for what it is to be an NFL quarterback right now. And I'm expecting, even if the offense doesn't perform in a really efficient way, I think we're going to look back and still see signs of growth from him on Sunday.
I think he's getting there.
Yeah.
I'm not totally convinced he's there yet. I think he is developing the traits, and he is understanding what's going on and the differences between the college game and the pro game. I do think that stretch, that fourth quarter in Pittsburgh, I do think for him,
yeah.
was really big. I mean, the Jimmy Graham throw was great, then the Allen Robinson, then the Mooney for the touchdown. That was a very important as far as on a personal level for Justin Fields. I just wanted you want to see more of that, and can he take that from one game to the next? And we'll see. I mean, look, everything about the guy, I have not wavered, okay? I'm still there. I still believe that he is going to be.
Yeah, don't ruin that for me now,
Jay. No, I would not do that. Now,
it's Football Friday.
It's going to be either this regime or the next that develops him. I don't know which one it's going to be. I think someone's going to make him a pretty good NFL quarterback.
All right, JD is here for another segment. If you want to talk to us or talk to JD, 312-332-3776. Would you term the Khalil Mack deal a success? Would you still want the Bears to do it 4 years ago? One of the themes on the show, he is out for the year, season-ending foot surgery. After the 12.5 sack year, it was 8.5, 9, and this year 6 sacks. So it never truly living up to what you're paying him on this long contract extension, and you've kicked a lot of that money now down the road. 332-3776. I want to talk to JD about what Tariq Cohen is mad about. More big picture stuff on Matt Nagy and what he foresees happening here over the next 2 months. We're live at Binney's Beverage Depot. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. We're in Vernon Hills on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Now, more Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000.
A lot of great Bears fans, Waddle and Sylvie fans here. A lot of people growing up in the northern suburbs coming up and saying it well.
Somebody's in the expensive portion of the wine area.
Where? Yeah. What do they call this? The event? Where are we? The event what? The what room? The grand crew room?
Well, we are a pretty grand crew.
I knew they had like a really fancy name for this at Binney's Beverage Depot, Vernon Hills.
It's usually called the Waddle. You can't afford the stuff behind the glass
yes,
room.
You can. But he'll look anyway. He'll probably buy one or two.
JD's got himself a hankering for a nice, bold Cabernet.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this Binney's is a godsend to the neighborhood. Thank you very much, Binney's, for moving on in.
You should have saw before the crowd got here, Waddle was dry humping the Miller Lite.
That's fair. I'm not going to lie. I think we have video evidence.
That one over there. Yeah. You may want to social distance.
This one right here by me.
The former police officer, right?
Yes.
I was fully clothed, just so, you know, don't call any of your buddies.
Yeah, JD is here fresh from Hallis Hall with the breaking news that Khalil Mack is done for the year. Talking about the big, I would still do it. Like
I would too.
I would three.
Like I get it. Like if you can redo history knowing what you know now, but it sort of opened up their window in 18. We weren't expecting that. He was one of the still young pass rushers who just you needed some sort of an identity with Vic Fangio's defense, and he got after it. And he was so good. We know what Ryan Pace has done with first-round picks. You see what's happened to the two first-round picks that went to the Raiders. You know, those things are crapshoots, too. So I thought there are many things that I could criticize Ryan Pace about. I'm not going to criticize the process or the thought that went into getting Khalil back.
No, it was just, did you have the right infrastructure in place to drop him in? Were the parameters the right way? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, were you really ready to win? And I could argue that, you know what? They were a double doink away from moving on in the playoffs.
Sure.
I think they were ready to win with a quarterback that they had to kind of manage, but he had a decent year that season. I agree. I mean, I think that there are plenty of things to look at and say, ooh, that's not good, or ooh, that's kind of bad, or ooh, that's Kevin White. There's a lot of those things. But Khalil Mack, I did not put in that category
whatsoever.
I don't
either. I said it earlier before the break. I mean, I would have done it. I mean, it's hard to say you do it all over again because it didn't equate to any playoff wins. But I don't think he made a mistake with it. Again, I think you described it perfectly, JD. It was the mistake that was evaluating Mitch incorrectly ultimately was what's kind of was your downfall as it's attached to Khalil Mack. So right. Would you like to have gotten more sacks? Yeah, okay, for sure. But he's drawn so much attention every time he's on the field. This is the first year, really, maybe when Leonard Floyd was there a little bit, but like this is the first time he's really had another guy on the other side to take a little bit of pressure off of him, isn't it, with
and
Robert Quinn?
And he had six sacks right away. I mean, he led the team in sacks for a good chunk of the season right there.
And he played the run. Like, I mean, this wasn't a guy that, his toughness and his contributions to me, I don't think we should look negatively at it. Again, could you always get more? Sure.
You know who's a good example of that is Julius Peppers. Remember when you just thought you could easily replace Julius Peppers, that, the production didn't match the contract, and let's just let him go to Green Bay, and he's done. A, he thrived in Green Bay. B, you bring in, what's his name, the cowboy, the rodeo guy from the Vikings.
Jared Allen,
who was, remember, that was a Phil Emery signing. I was excited at first over Jared Allen, and he did nothing.
Well, he played outside linebacker, and he's like, I've never done this before.
and then they never really replaced Julius Peppers until Khalil Mack. They tried with other guys. They tried with, as Yurko called him, P.P. McPhee. They tried with drafting Leonard Floyd, But and McPhee still we checked. He's still
playing
on the Ravens.
With the Ravens.
He's back on the Ravens. Yeah. I mean, it was perfect.
Only 32 years old. Sylvia and I both thought he was like 38. He's only 32. Oh, yeah.
The Ravens played that perfectly. When it was time for Purnell to get paid, they let someone else pay him. And then when all the knee problems resurfaced that the Ravens knew he was going to have, he eventually makes his way back to Baltimore to play a bit of a, you know, like a bit role for them.
It's what the Patriots consistently do.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's Kyle Van Noy's back at the Patriots making plays like he did
now
last
Purnell's
night.
Got his Rolls Royces, yeah. All courtesy of the Bears, and he just shows up and makes his minimum salary for the Ravens, and everyone's happy.
Yeah. Speaking of knee injuries, I don't know if you saw Tariq Cohen's tweets yesterday. Like, it sounded like he's hearing from people that they're questioning whether or not he wants to play. Who's doing that?
I don't know. There are so many people. I mean, there's so many things. You can't pay attention to that stuff. There might have been someone saying that he'll never play again for the Bears or that he's done or whatever. But, I mean, what does that matter? I mean, he knows where his rehab is at. He knows what timetable he's on. I don't know why these guys get so upset. I mean, he's going to play again. They signed him. They need him to play. They invested money in him. It's a matter of just kind of when is that knee going to be cleared to go, you know? And he's still fighting through that, and he's out there at practice and, you know, walking around and trying to do some stuff on the side. He's doing his best, but he's just not there. But my advice to all of these guys, it's just like relax. Like, just because one person out of a billion says, I think you're done and you stink, what does it matter? It's
right.
One person.
Or where are you? It's been 15 months, you know. We right. know it, obviously. We know the surgery didn't go well, right? I mean, or that there was a setback in the rehab.
I think that's pretty fair to say that there was some setback. These guys are just, I hate to use the phrase soft, but sometimes they're just very soft. They let the criticism get to them. It's like you're playing in the NFL. Everyone's got opinions. Have you read Twitter? Most opinions are terrible opinions. Yeah. Why do you get yourself all worked up about it? But, I mean, it was just a couple of tweets and he was fine. But I think he was just referring to the ghosts in his head.
Or right, the cloud.
One or two people yelling at him. Yeah. Like, it matters.
What can you tell us about where Tevin Jenkins is and also how everyone feels about Larry Borum's plays last 2 weeks?
Larry Borum is – they're happy with him. I mean, obviously, it's still – a work in progress, and there's still been some moments where he does look like a rookie, but I think they're pretty pleasantly surprised by what they've gotten out of him this year. And then Tevin Jenkins, everything has been encouraging so far. The window is open. You know, he's been practicing. It's not going to be this week against the Ravens, but he's got 3 weeks to get it done. And I think the fact that he's out there moving around and doing his thing bodes very well for him.
What would you do with him, or what do you think they'll do with him?
Because I wouldn't play him right away.
I wouldn't either, because if you like what Borum's doing at right tackle, then you don't want to move him off that spot. Jason Peters, despite being like 90 years old, has probably been their best, most consistent offensive lineman. You're not going to take him off the field to put Tevin Jenkins there, are you?
I would let him dress and let him go through the game day process.
Swing tackle.
If he needs to come in because of an injury, then so be it. But I wouldn't force him out there. That would be a huge mistake. After missing all season with a back injury.
He didn't get one training camp practice
one practice under his belt. You're just going to force him out there. I can't imagine they would be that reckless.
We said this yesterday. Can you imagine? And we have been very critical of Ryan Pace, and I think with good reason. Can you imagine if at the end of this year, which is a good thing, but Justin Fields is your guy, obviously. Larry Borum's a guy that you think you can pencil in as a starter. Tevin Jenkins comes back and proves to you that he can be a guy you can count on. And you've got Khalil Herbert as well that has shown you for a sixth-round pick. You've got value there. Like, you may be able to look back at this draft and say Ryan Pace had himself a whale of an April.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs there still, though.
True, very true.
Still got to get the quarterback. You're 100% convinced on that. Devin Jenkins hasn't played a snap yet in the NFL.
Just saying there, I'm used to expecting the worst.
Larry Borum played, what, two games?
Larry Borum played two and a half games.
Listen, if you find a tackle in the fifth round that can start for you, like, I mean, there's a chance, is what I'm saying, that this may turn out to have been a pretty good draft for him.
Larry Borum lost a lot of weight. That's on Larry Borum. That's a good thing.
Yes.
He came out of Missouri out of shape, and that's why he fell to the fifth round. And for him to have, lost that weight and get himself in good playing condition, that could be a very good pick. I know how eager you are for your Bears to have a good draft. I know.
Yeah, hell yes.
I know how
we're looking
you
to crash
are.
Fund to yeah. something.
Anything.
People call us haters. We want them to win.
Anything.
Of course.
Where is this trending, JD? There's 8 weeks left. I mean,
not in the right direction.
Is there a chance? No. I mean, are they all gone? Does Pace fire Nagy? Does Pace stay somewhere in the organization? Is there a chance George wakes up and he says, Ted, go over here and you work on the stadium and I'm hiring a new president followed by a new infrastructure below on personnel? Where are we heading?
We have this conversation every single year.
I know.
Every single year.
When's
we have
he going to realize that he could end it by changing things?
I know. I
like
know.
The Bulls.
I mean, so it's very unusual to have a general manager be in position to hire a third head coach. That's very unusual to have happen.
With one winning season,
correct.
Right?
So as much as the draft class is enticing,
potentially,
and there have been some good players added to the mix, it is hard to give a general manager that type of authority. But if there was ever a scenario in the NFL where a GM would get the chance to hire a third head coach, it would probably be Chicago because they rely on him so much and they're so, dare I say, smitten by Ryan Pace.
A crazier scenario would be that you allow Ryan Pace to hire the guy to fill his spot because he didn't do his job well enough, and you kick Ryan Pace up to the president of the organization. If you want to talk about something that makes zero sense, that right there.
Boy,
is
that would be something. Hire his replacement and then just kick upstairs.
Ted and I are fired up to get my replacement. Can you imagine Ted and Ryan on the road to hire his own replacement because he's not good at the job? That would be very Bears.
So would you have drafted?
No.
Okay, you're hired.
No. Look, I think anything is possible. I mean, you could also argue, too, if the head coach, I know people just can't stand Matt Nagy. You could say, listen, he's made the playoffs 2 out of 4 years, theoretically. Oh, I know you want to oust him. I know. But
I want to restructure everything. I want to share with the audience a memory that came up 2 years ago. I call it Bears Groundhog Day. But before you go, what's the final score?
But this was before Lamar missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday.
Ooh.
Because we have to get our picks in very early. I had the Ravens 30, the Bears 20. But I would probably amend that a little bit and probably say more like 23-20 Ravens. I think it'll be closer than my initial score. I still have the Ravens winning, though.
Okay. JD, great to see you.
Great seeing you guys.
Home game. Yeah, have us back in the hills soon.
I got to go pick up my son now. I got to get in that car line, man.
Bring him back.
Jockey for position in that car line. It's dangerous.
Bring him back.
He would love to come back, but, you know, the alcohol might be a problem for a 10-year-old kid.
He could put on a hitting symposium here in the what room are we again, Travis? The Grand Crew.
Have Allie bring the boys over. Yeah. Have them bring their baseball bags and bats.
It's the you can't afford any of the stuff behind the glass room.
We've got a big Tsukasa night planned tonight with the boys.
Do you really?
Yes.
Well, you're hitting all the Vernon Hills.
Yes. Good to see you.
Great seeing you guys.
All right, there's JD. When we come back, your phone calls. Would you do the Khalil Mack deal again? He's out with season-ending surgery. I want to go through this Bears Groundhog Day. There's a lot to get to. We're going to talk to Cuddy later in the show. We've got Carmen on today. A lot happening. It's 312-332-3776. We're live at Binney's Beverage Depot. Vernon Hills, it's brought to you by Miller Lite.
Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. This is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, presented by Miller Lite.
We're on twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Let the Miller Lite flow.
Just a side note here before we get into your phone calls, as we're at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. And you could sign up for these Bears Ravens tickets. Come on by. You could stay for 5 minutes. You could stay for the whole show. We're in this private grand room. It's easy to spot us. We got all the signage here. But a little side note here, Abdallah. We have a celebrity in the crowd. Jesse is here, who is not Jesse Rogers.
Hey, buddy.
Jesse. Hey there, Jesse. How are you, Jesse?
Hey there, buddy. I've got news, buddy.
This is Jesse who may have created Waddle's, I think, if I've got the right song. He was a finalist, I think, 3 years ago. That's what he thinks. 3 years ago in the Holiday Parody Song Competition, which kicks off on Monday, ESPNParody.com. We'll give you all the details here coming up. But, again, you could start uploading those to ESPNParody.com on Monday. The grand prize winner could win $1,000. There will be prizes for all the finalists. Like usual, we will have a live broadcast where everyone performs. But Jesse, a few years ago, did the Ditka song, the Go, Go, Bears song. I think that was the whole thing. Go, Go, Bears. Go, Go, Bears.
We're going back. No, that was
Thank you. And go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, 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 Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears!
I think this was my winner.
Go, Go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears!
So good. It is.
It's so simple, too, and that's the beauty of this contest.
Go, Go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, 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 Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, 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 Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, Go, Bears! Go, 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 Bears!
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
I love that. Just
That's good.
Jesse, great work there. And he's here now.
Where's Jesse?
He's right there with the Cubs World Championship sweatshirt.
Living in the past, aren't you there,
hey,
Jess?
What are you talking about? Big red machine guy.
You're right, sir.
Sure. Wearing the 75 championship.
90, sure. Brother, 90.
This is the guy wearing the NFL alumni
90.
Sweater.
Yes. Yeah. Look at me, you know, back in the day.
I played football.
I'm still an alumni.
Yeah.
I'm still an alum.
1993 had a hell of a good year, kid.
Not really. 92 was better. 93 was very average.
Speaking of 93, did you guys see the stat from yesterday's Thursday night football game?
From 93, something to do with 1993.
Last time it happened, we were the ones intercepting passes against the Bucs,
against
right?
three different quarterbacks. Three interceptions against three different quarterbacks. Yeah, the last time that happened was the Bears in 1993.
Wow. There you go. That was some game. I mean, the Patriots are just dominating the way they not with the Brady prime years, but when they were just getting going. And, like, last year, this has just been, the last year and a half has been a testament to what Brady and Belichick brought together.
That's a good point.
Because everyone's like, oh, look at Brady. He's got the leg up here. It's clearly Brady. He's won the Super Bowl. And but then remember, in a lot of those playoff games, he had the help of a really, really good defense. And Brady is incredible. And then you have the Belichick down year. Everyone's opting out. He tries Cam Newton. That thing didn't work. And then they draft their quarterback. They get the last guy off the board of the big five. And now all of a sudden they're just doing enough where they're not asking him too much. It's like what Greeny said, not enough. Don't put too much on the kid's plate. And then they're just doing stuff in these last four to five games.
Defense.
Where now all of a sudden you would say, ooh, are they a team that can win the Super Bowl? I'm not saying that you would bet money unless with the value. I think you have good value on the Patriots. But we've been meaning to get to this conversation all week. Of all the teams that you would list that can win the Super Bowl, would you not include the Patriots?
I'd probably be reluctant at this time to do it.
I would put them on there.
You know, because I just don't know if they're explosive enough offensively, if they find themselves in a bit of a shootout. But look, anything's possible in this league, especially when you've got the guys that are running that team. I mean, Belichick's the best that's ever done it. And I think Josh McDaniels has done a fantastic job of putting Mac Jones in a position to take advantage of what he does well.
They're not atop my power rankings, but with the Ravens who are coming to town, as you just mentioned, they were exposed on Thursday Night Football again. They're still really good. But again, you see Miami, what they're able to do to a team like that. You see what the Bills have gone through recently. You see that the Chiefs, it's really been a struggle for them until lately. Tennessee without Derrick Henry, there's no dominant team.
Not right now.
Wouldn't you think, when he's done it with a six-round pick playing in his first year, you know, in 2001, why wouldn't you think that this could be 20 years later a complete rewrite of history?
He could.
That's why I would include them on the list.
I think it's more likely that the Bills find their stride, and
of course,
like the Chiefs will continue to grow, and the Cowboys. So I wouldn't rule them out, but I'd put them behind some of the other teams.
Like, I think I wrote out 9 or 10 teams. I've got my list of 9 or 10 teams that can. We could go through that coming up. Want to take some of these phone calls, 312-332-3776. Khalil Mack is out for the year with that foot surgery that he's going to have, I believe, next week. He's been playing through this. They've been trying to rest him, but he is out for the year. Akeem Hicks is out for this game. A-Rob is doubtful. Abdallah, we're having some internet issues here, so can you introduce a phone call?
Oh, yeah. Let's go to our favorite. Let's go to our guy on the north side, Eddie on the north side.
Hey, guys, there's no way to look at it. Khalil Mack was a complete bust. He was brought here for all them things to win a championship or playoff games, and it didn't come true.
How is it his fault? Khalil Mack is the bust? Was it a bad move? Like, Eddie, I don't know how he's a bust when you've had lots of other busts on this football team the last 3 years.
Well, maybe it was the person that brought him in. But other than that, when Belichick gets you new as a quarterback, he shines. I mean, what he did with Brady, what he's doing with this kid and the other kid that he got big contract for.
What does that have to do with Mac? This is a defensive conversation.
You're circling back to make
your statement that the Ohio State University doesn't produce good quarterbacks. That's what you're doing, right, Eddie?
Where's Haskins at? Now,
this is my point. This is what you ultimately wanted to get to. It wasn't. You circumvented the entire conversation.
He
didn't bait us.
Waddle, let me ask you one question. Waddle, one question. Think right now that the quarterback at Ohio State right now is better than Justin Fields?
Have no idea. I would say no, but I would have no idea.
Justin Fields in his full season, not the COVID, had 3 games of over 500-yard passing. The current guy right now has 7.
But he plays at Ohio State, and they all suck at Ohio State, according to you, so who cares?
Right.
No, whoever goes to Ohio State,
Let's get back to the Khalil Mack. You remember now, when they were in 2018, they were the number one defense in the league. He was Defensive Player of the Year. In 2019, while they didn't have as many sacks or takeaways, I believe they were still, the fourth leading defense in the league in terms of points scored. The defense has consistently held their own, Eddie. This offense has given them
Eddie.
The offense has consistently let this defense down. Period. End of story.
But Waddle, it's been like that since 1985. Now I don't think it's the quarterback,
Khalil Mack, Eddie. I don't even think it's Khalil Mack.
The quarterback, the offensive linemen, the coaching, and everything. It's something about the Bears, where they're at now. It's just a stalemate. And I think the only way it's going to change
question
is the
was
big
the Khalil
change
Mack trade a success.
We're going back to the current.
All right, Eddie, we love you.
Back at Ohio State.
Safe travels.
Happened in 1985?
There's Eddie in his van.
He's
doing good work in fixing people's garages,
he's doing bad work in making me crazy.
His takes on this team are terrible. Not that mine are any better, but his takes are terrible.
Well, I mean, listen, it's fine if you have a different perspective on Khalil Mack. We weren't even talking about Khalil. We were. He wasn't.
Khalil Mack's been their best player for the last 3 years.
There's no doubt.
What if Ryan Pace didn't make – that's a good conversation. Would Ryan Pace be fired by now? 18 probably doesn't happen without Khalil Mack. They're not that dominant without Khalil Mack. 332-3776 is our phone number. Khalil Mack is out for the year. We're looking back on that trade. Would you still make that trade? What do you think about that? I got to get to Bears Groundhog Day. We got to get to our playoff discussion.
Eddie just took us back to Groundhog Day.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're live at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills.
Live from Binney's in Vernon Hills, it's Miller Time with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
I'm excited to hit Soldier Field for the first time, boy, in a while. I'm trying to think the last game I was at Soldier Field. Last year they didn't have They didn't have people.
No people.
No people.
I think Soldier Field will be happy to have you. They like people that are there and willing to cheer for their favorite team.
I got to look back in the 19 season. I know I went to a game in 19 there. I've been on two road games this year. This will be Braxton's first home game, first Bears game ever. He's been to a Sox game. He's been to a Cubs game. He's been
excited?
To a Bulls game. Yeah. He can't wait. He is so excited. He cannot wait. We're going to have a blast on Sunday, and hopefully Justin Fields will play well. I told you Mason's very into Lamar Jackson. You know, I was going back and the memories, though. Again, I've always brought this up. We've been recording these videos, these pre-show videos now, for a good 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So then they always highlight what we're talking about on each show. So one of the memories came up from 2019, 2 years ago. Do you know what we were talking about 2 years ago at this time? Which major game happened on national TV and a big side thing happened, which Abdallah believes something was going on, which you don't believe was going on at the end of the game?
I'm clueless right now.
So this was a nationally televised game where, of course, again, the offense completely failed.
Well, yeah, that was...
This is what I mean. It's Groundhog Day. Like whether it was just recently we were doing a video from 2 years ago for a pre-show about Matt Nagy not knowing where to spot the football in a loss for the Chargers, you know, or
right.
Did you watch the Colts game? And I think he kicked it on third down. And it's just over and over. My point is always... We lived through that in 19. That was bad enough.
Yep.
Then we had to live through the 6-game losing streak in 20. And then now all of a sudden we're in the midst of this 4-game losing streak, and it's just rinse and repeat. And you're telling me that there's a chance that in 2022 he's back, where I'm going to say, hey, now we're in the middle of another 5-game losing streak, and he's saying this stuff. And do you remember what he said in 2021? And do you remember what was going on in 2020? Like, when is enough enough? The game that happened, Abdallah, do you know what I'm talking about? Have I painted a bad or good clue here? It's a nationally televised game against a really good opponent that they've played quite frequently lately. And you believe at the end of this game that something happened between the coach and the player.
When Trubisky cried.
Yes. This was the, we're pulling Mitch Trubisky game. Let me pull you in for a big hug on the sideline as Chase Daniel is now playing.
Yeah, and he's crying.
And we had the big debate. Was Mitch crying? And
also,
you believe
was this
shout
the Rams?
Out to Trubisky. Trubisky
yes.
actually finally completed a pass. Did you guys see this over during the week?
What do you mean he just completed a pass?
Well, him and his wife are pregnant.
Oh. Yes, his wife is expecting.
Congrats to the Trubisky.
Yes.
Baby
yes.
Trubisky's on the way. That's a good thing.
It was high and outside,
yeah,
though.
Figured he would have overshot that.
No, you stop that. Come on now.
Obviously, it wasn't high and outside. It hit its target.
That's what they're saying, that the first completed pass.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Come on now. But again, like, that was another game on national TV against the Rams where they couldn't score. They had, like, 6 points or something the whole game. Mitch gets pulled. Like, when's enough enough? When are these games that we look back on and say, oh, remember how bad it was that game? Remember the Philly game?
So this came up in your...
Our memories. Like, yeah. 3 weeks ago, I think we were just reminiscing.
I'm trying to bury those memories.
No, we're not, because you got to remember in order to dictate your future. Because if you keep burying these memories and forgetting about the Philly game where it was 22-0, but they put 16 on the board at the end to make it look better. If you forget about this year's Cleveland game, if you forget about this year's Packers game, and McCaskey does the same damn rinse and repeat, and, oh, we're going to bury this game.
I can bury it.
What are you going to accomplish ultimately? And then in 2022, we're talking about memories from this year. Oh, remember, this is the anniversary of the Cleveland game. But Nagy's still here calling plays. Oh, but Nagy retook the play calling. Oh, Nagy gave it to Lazor again. Like, when's enough enough? We've lived
through. Enough was enough for me last year in the offseason.
For me, too. Yeah, I mean, it's been enough for me. But I'm saying that he's got to understand, sitting here 4 miles from where we sit right now in Binnie's, George has got to understand that this can't go on again next year. We've got to get these guys out of here. I'm not a hater.
I'm not
I'm tired of living the same Bears nightmare year in and year out. I'm tired of it.
Hey, listen, it's rinse and repeat. It's the same conversations every week.
So, and I think they're good reminders. They're good for anybody who thinks, oh, well, maybe we should keep them. Oh, well, maybe he finally figured it out. No. Remember they thought they figured it out last year at the end of the season when they gave the play calling duties to Laser and they made the fake playoffs with the 7 seed and then they went to New Orleans and they got their ass kicked and no changes were made again because they were fooled. Don't get fooled again. That's the song, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Won't be fooled again.
Yeah, like at 3-6, I'm not sitting here fooled. Like I am a fool, but I'm not fooled right now.
So that's my only point, that I see these, and I do think they're important to remember. And I think they're important for fans to remember the sting. And I hope that the owner understands that and that we don't get the same damn shot of Virginia next year. Ooh, poor Virginia. She's never going to see a winner. I mean, it's time already. The Bulls are in the midst of doing it. We talk all the time about the Cubs did it. And you cannot rinse and repeat again. 3-3-2.
Go Bears!
3-7-7-6. We'll take
Hey, Mason, Braxton, you want to go see this crappy team by crappy people on Sunday?
It's not, like, yeah. And then I've got people saying, well, Sylvie, you're so down about it. What do you want me to do? You want me to just be cool with it? It's cool. I'm a Bears fan. You know, just line up, get in line again. No, I won't. I won't follow.
Take the kids to the game. Have some fun. Have some hot dogs, some popcorn.
Some beer. Lots of Miller Lite. Yeah. We're back in 2 short minutes at Benny's Beverage Depot, Vernon Hills.